Welcome back to the Behind Big Brother podcast. It's been four relatively long years since Big Brother last graced our screens, and probably since you last visited the Behind Big Brother website. To our new listeners, welcome to the very first podcast for the 2012 season of Big Brother. My name is David, and there is also Tim here from the original. Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so we're a bit rusty because we haven't done this in 4 years. I don't think I've actually used this microphone in the last 4 years since Big Brother was on.
It's got the dust of our yesteryear lingering on it.
I'd say we should just jump in and start talking about Big Brother. So it kind of jumped out of nowhere that the show had been revived. I guess we don't really know for sure why, but I am sort of leaning towards what happened in the UK where, if you, in case you don't know, Big Brother there had been running for, was it 12 years?
12 years, yeah.
And Channel 4 had finally decided to drop it from dwindling ratings. Pretty much the same reason Channel 10 decided to drop it. But then Channel 5 in the UK picked it up. And if you're familiar with UK TV, Channel 5 is the kind of trashy, distant cousin of Channel 4. So the show kind of went in a different direction, had a new logo. So I've got a feeling back home, Southern Star, who produces the show here, sort of said, let's try and float this idea again.
Yeah, and I think Channel 9 are changing their branding, and you look at how Channel 9, it's never really won any of the rating competitions. It was always 7 and 10 and ABC and even SBS to a certain extent. But they've changed their look, they've changed their feel. They've got this big coup with hosting the Olympics. It's going to bring a bunch of new viewers to the network. And I think a show like Big Brother, which we've got to remember was really, really popular way back in the day, it can bring in a new audience to Channel 9. And I mean, the concept, I'll never stop saying that the concept of Big Brother is great. It makes for really, really good television. But unfortunately, it's a very expensive show to make, and that means you've got to sell it to advertisers. And if people aren't watching it, you've got nothing to sell. And that was why we saw it die back in 2008. It wasn't working anymore. People were over it. It was the same old thing. The housemates were too savvy about what was going to happen in the house and what would happen to their careers after the show. It lost the thing that I loved about it. I was certainly jaded by it in the end.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's no denying that our website got a bit jaded. But
listen to any old podcast.
And they're all there. We'll make them all available to download. But I think this year we'll actually find that Big Brother is relatively the same as previous years, but we have the nostalgia factor, and it's been 4 years. A lot of us don't really remember what we got sick of in the first place. So I think finding out that the show had started again, everyone's immediate reaction was like, awesome.
Yeah, even the people that weren't necessarily hardcore fans, I was certainly really excited to see it back again. I've definitely missed it as much as towards the end I was not enjoying it and may have tuned out. But not even the hardcore fans are excited again. Look at the official Big Brother Facebook page. There's 100,000 likes on it as of earlier this week. And you look at the comments and they're definitely of the younger generation, let's say.
When does Big Brother start?
How do I get on Big Brother?
When does Big Brother start?
Will there be Big Brother Uncut this year?
When will Big Brother start?
And can I be a housemate? Is it too late? Like, fuck off.
The show will have aired, and 2 days later we'll still be seeing, when does Big Brother start? But let's talk about the changes, because obviously Facebook 4 years ago wasn't really such a big deal, and now it is. It's everything. What are your thoughts on their social media policy?
I think there's definitely a strategy behind it. Whether or not it's been fully thought out, I'm not quite sure. They were the first place you could go to get any information after the announcement was made, which was, a big surprise, was their official Facebook page. And that saw a huge jump really, really quickly in the number of people liking it and fans and whatnot. But I think they have to embrace it. It's where a lot of their demographic are going to be. It's a show that has a very large live component, which is going to see a huge response from Twitter. Like, you look at things like Q&A and that kind of thing. It's live. You can get that response. It wouldn't surprise me if there were live banners across the bottom or ticker tapes or whatnot of people's tweets in reactions to nominations and evictions. I think the Facebook thing is quite an interesting one, because it's a real-time media, but it's perhaps a little less so. I think people might be going and checking it less often than they might be looking on Twitter, but there are more people engaging with them on Facebook.
Let's move on to something less serious. The advertising with Sonia Kruger.
That's my response.
Well, just not that I'm planning to disagree with everything that you say on this podcast, but I do like most aspects of the ad. I do like that some money was thrown at the promotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw in the sort of final years in Channel 10 that it wasn't delegated any budget, and the ads that came out were just like, it was probably just like text animated on a screen.
Were they like blinking eyes and that kind of thing? There was nothing.
Yeah. So this has actually been scripted. It's had a professional shoot. There's been actors and whatnot. I don't know if it grasps the Big Brother concept. It's kind of a wacky and out there idea, and I like that they tried something new. I don't know if it's Big Brother through and through. I do kind of like the Pied Piper like element of it. All these people in Ballarat are just going about their daily lives, and then suddenly Sonia Kruger shuffles into town and people are suddenly like following her into the street to have a little rave. I mean, she shows up, suddenly they're euphoric, they're smiling and dancing to techno beats, and they're seeing sparkling light coming out of their bodies. I mean, I'm pretty sure Sonia Kruger drugged them. Like, it's such a metaphor for ecstasy.
Yep.
And Sonia Kruger's drugs are so powerful that they made a priest leave a wedding in the middle of the ceremony. I mean, what is that? And then some woman from the wedding, who I'm guessing is the bridesmaid, left as well. She's just like, sorry, honey, I'm going in Big Brother. Just go get married by yourself. I mean, what a bitch.
And I think if you look really closely in one of the frames, you can actually see that bridesmaid having sex with the groom just off camera. That was a gag. That absolutely did not happen. The only qualm that I have with the ad is that I think it caters to a younger generation that, no, maybe I'm getting high and mighty. Like, we've all, the people who grew up watching Big Brother in season one in 2001 and carried all the way through to 2008, we're older now. We've grown up with the show, we have gone on now, and I can't help but think that that ad really targets to that younger demographic, or the younger end of the 18 to the 34 Oztam level or whatever it is, that huge swathe. But I like the fact, I agree with you that they have thrown money at it, and that is nice. And I think it captures the audition experience. I went along to it many, many years ago once, and it was that kind of, it was fun until you got to a certain point, and then it was very, very serious and turn off your phones and you're not allowed to talk to anyone anymore. But it was about the kind of the joy of having random people together, which is, I think, a lot of what the show brings out as well. When you put these people together and they actually do get along, there's something quite satisfying about that, as much as there is something satisfying when two people fucking hate each other and tear strips off each other. And also, I think it shows that they don't have anything to say. There was no imagery of the house. There wasn't even any idea of the concept of throwing strangers. It was just, we've selected people from the public. We're all going to have a shuffle and eat some ecstasy.
They did. They had a rave in the main street in Ballarat.
Ballarat went off that day. I reckon everyone in Ballarat was having a great time. They would have really enjoyed
it. Sonia and her disco treats. She's just flinging them out everywhere. Like, come join the Big Brother party. Have some drugs. The whole premise of the ad too was that there's a certain kind of person that Big Brother is not looking for. And I think that fed out of the auditions, where people were saying, like, we know that you've said that you'll be picking everyday Australians, but it didn't really look that way in auditions. Whether that's the case or not, we don't fully know yet. But this ad sort of answered their complaints by saying these really Botoxed girls and these muscle guys will not get into the house. The thing is, they're not the types of people that were overly represented in Big Brother. I felt that in previous seasons, the overrepresented people were like your everyday bogans. And by some stretch, yes, some bimbo-y girls, but not like what was in the ad.
No, not at all. Yeah, it was that thing of, everyday Australians, which are kind of not great to watch a lot of the time, I think. I like that they have spent money and spent an advertising campaign on answering that public question. And it was very much out there when the last seasons were happening, that it was, we were seeing the same people again and again, the same dynamics. And it, I think it is savvy of them to go, actually, no, this isn't going to be who we're putting in the house. Whether or not that actually happens, I would like to do a comparison of the ad versus the housemates that are in there. But it does terrify me a little bit that it's going to put, they'll put in really boring people.
We used to complain about the housemates being very plain, but I think it's an Australian culture thing that we don't watch a freak show. And Big Brother 8, the last season before it was canned on Channel 10, was demonstrated that. Big Brother 8 was kind of a freak show. One thing that did come out of the online feedback for the ad, people overseas said, oh, check out this ad. We don't really get it, but it's fun. But in Australia, we of course understood it. We want regular people in the house. Well, it seems viewers want regular people in the house, but overseas, it's more of a freak show.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to know. I haven't really had many discussions with people who have watched Australian Big Brother from overseas, but the ones I can remember from way back when was that it was the type of person in our show was quite unique. In an English-speaking Big Brother franchise. Yeah, I'm curious. I also, the whole shuffle thing, which has turned into this social media campaign of be a part of our shuffle or show your shuffle video or whatever, but
you know, I really hope that the housemates don't shuffle into the house. I would, that would just destroy credibility from the very beginning. Don't shuffle into the house. If Sonia Kruger shuffles on stage, there's been a lot of shuffling, which makes me quite worried. Like there was the flash bomb shuffling on, is it Good Morning on Channel 9?
Whichever
show. On a morning, I just saw a YouTube clip. Everyone's shuffling like complete tools. And I know that morning television is where idiots reside. But, I mean, come on. Like, what has shuffling got to do with Big Brother? There's quite a few different, like, mini campaigns competing against each other. There's the shuffle, and then there's this idea of brotherhood.
The brotherhood, yeah.
It sounds like a hashtag that never got off the ground. Well, right now, as we record this, they're gearing up to record another advertisement. I'm pretty sure it's in Brisbane, where fans of the show were able to nominate themselves and be invited to come along. It's too late for that. That type of ad really should have been happening during the auditions. Like, to say, like, you've still got a chance. We all know that if you're not about to be put in lockdown, there's no chance of going in the Big Brother house this year.
I don't want to see someone else like me that watches the show. I want to know who the housemates are already. I don't care about
that. We'll leak it. Yeah. Someone leak it to us. Come on. Yeah. You've leaked us enough stuff.
Just send us a spreadsheet.
We have been sent lots of scary letters, like... Bring it on. No, that's inciting, but don't worry.
Perhaps moving on to the next thing.
That's a good segue, actually, to what we're talking about next.
Yeah. Is these plans that we received of a house.
It seemed to be like some kind of house in another country. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. There was some strange things in it. It was made for a large amount of people. There was, placement for a number of beds, a large table. There is a large couch in front of a television, if I recall.
And something called a noms room. No idea what that is.
Yeah.
But say, just as a completely isolated subject, if the Big Brother house were to have certain things, what would you like to see? I'm thinking something maybe like a sin bin with a changeable frosted glass.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to see a sin bin room with a changeable frosted glass for the potential Big Brother to punish housemates that break rules. And remember, the number one rule break was talking about nominations or talking about who you've nominated or colluding with other housemates.
Oh, and battery problems, housemates. Yeah. Mic problems. Housemates with dead batteries or not wearing their mics properly.
Not replacing their batteries or whatever. You know, let's put them in a sin bin room. I would like to see that, but I also don't know how much entertainment value can be dragged out of that. It's been done.
And this is kind of a sign that the whoever's putting the ideas together is kind of relying on the fact that a lot of the viewers weren't watching earlier on. This idea was done in 2006. I know that was 6 years ago, but I have a fantastic memory.
And remember then, you know, in The Daily Show, cutting to a shot of someone counting pins or separating green M&Ms from whatever other colour M&M you can get was not interesting viewing.
I can imagine the Twitter posts like, oh my God, 67th M&M. 68th, it's yellow. Wow. Yellow hashtag M&M.
Mine would just be, I die. Like, I hate it. Unless you're going to do something really, really rad in that room and...
put strippers in there. It looks like the right kind of size for a go-go dancing room. Make the housemates strip and dance for the enjoyment of the rest.
Or keep it secret until the end of the season. And then, you know, when you're down to six or seven housemates, put their family in the room. Put their family in the room, which they have not seen for ages. Do not allow them to speak to them. Nothing. Their family are just sitting there. That would be... emotional destruction, and I would love to watch it on my television screen.
You saddest.
Yeah, whatever. What I would definitely not like to see in the new house is the return of anything resembling Friday Night Live or some kind of show. I would rather shoot myself in the head than have the misfortune of accidentally hearing anything about that television show. I think it was perhaps the worst decision that Big Brother ever made to implement Friday Night Games as a way of rewarding the housemates. I was not a fan. I know a lot of people out there liked it and maybe didn't have anything to do on a Friday night. I don't know. It was not a fun show for me. The way to reward the housemates would be by giving them little tasks to do during the week instead of making them fight in this, what's that trash show that's also on Channel 9 where...
is it Wipeout or something?
Wipeout, yeah.
Well, that I can see how they thought that Friday Night Live would appeal to the family audience. I mean, if you're over 18 years of age, on Friday night, you're out getting pissed probably, or socializing, to put it nicely. You're not watching TV. So Friday Night Live was designed for like the nuclear family, but it was like a formula used in the 90s. Like...
and we all know that everyone who watched Big Brother back when Friday Night Live was on is now doing this on the weekend. That's the sound of my wine glass filling up.
We'll get to that later. we were on the topic of what we'd like to see in the house, hypothetically.
Mm. How do you feel about saunas?
I do like saunas. Mm. If one were to be in the Big Brother house, I think it would provide some great footage, especially if clothes were banned.
Yeah, and if there was maybe like a bubbled surface on the outside that the camera could look in.
Oh, like a barrel shape?
Yeah, like a barrel spa. I mean, a barrel sauna.
Oh, actually, we can confirm that because it was. Yeah, we can confirm that there's a barrel sauna going in the
house. There's a barrel sauna going in. There's a spa. It'll be below ground. And so... what about an area for the housemates to be treated or rewarded? How do you feel about that?
Let me bring myself together. How many years was that idea used for? When did Friday Night Live start? 2005? Maybe my memory isn't that great.
5, 6.
So maybe 2 or 3 years that the reward room idea was used.
What did we get out of it, really? The only thing that I can really remember of it is some housemate with blonde hair who had some sexual interest in one of the other girls, got naked in it at one point, and he was pretty well endowed. That's the only good thing that I can see out of the entire rewards room.
If they're allowed to talk about nominations and potentially collude, but only within that space where they're potentially rewarded, then I can see that kind of working. If you borrowed some ideas from American Big Brother where... occasionally under we'll edit that bit. Under certain circumstances, they're allowed to collude. I think it's head of household or...
Yeah, head of house.
There's
yeah.
like a tactical room of the house. If that was brought in, I can see... if you brought a new element to it, I can see it working, kind of.
Was the rewards room, you could always bring someone else in, couldn't you? You had to select someone.
Yeah, and it was kind of the... it was supposed to be a source of tension, like, oh, he chose that person to go into the rewards room instead of me. But towards the end, it was just like, oh, yeah, whatever. We've all been in it now.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I would like to... I think the pool is often a great source of footage for, you know... it's quite hot there, so a pool would be nice. Maybe a circular pool that a 360-degree camera can get a full
view
of. That's
a fantastic original idea.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, one of the things that I really enjoyed, and one of my favourite seasons of Big Brother, was when there was the two houses. And, yeah, you know, the housemates knew that there were two houses. But the idea of those secret rooms and pulling together the wall, pulling down the walls, and there being a kitchen in the middle, and that kind of thing was pretty... Oh, no, we're out of wine. Mine's quite full. You can pour some out of that.
Asking if you wanted the rest of the bottle.
Oh, no, no. I would like the idea of a secret room or something that Big Brother gets to reveal to both the viewers and the housemates in the house for some purpose, or maybe even hides a housemate, you know, snatches a housemate in their sleep and hides them in the sin bin or in some secret room.
Yeah, if they could wake up in the sin bin and it's like the movie Saw and they... They have to cut themselves free. Maybe not cut. It is Channel 9, it's family. But they have to do something.
Gnaw themselves free.
Yeah, and everyone else can watch.
Mm. Yeah, that, you know, if ratings are really, really dire, they need to push some boundaries, push the envelope. I'm just trying to think what else I would really like seeing in a house. Maybe a mound for housemates to sit on.
That has many meanings.
A grassy knoll is perhaps
a
another.
A grassy knoll.
I would like to see the way that evictions are handled a little bit differently, and kind of coming out straight into the public without this getting a little golf buggy and drive around.
Well, there's definitely going to be the golf buggy just because the house is away from the auditorium.
Yeah.
Unless they plan to have evictions right outside the house, which would be fantastic.
Well, they did always, you know, play crowd music in there. I could never understand why they wanted to hide the sound of the crowd. In the first few seasons, it was because the housemates had no idea how popular the show was, which was one of the keys to its successes, I think. But now it's a given that it is going to be popular. Any reality TV show is popular to a certain extent. And this show, I think, will be popular. Why hide that kind of thing? Why not give... How embarrassing.
Turn your phone off while we're recording the podcast.
I lost where I was going. I'm interested to see the house. I would also like to... Oh, we're allowed to announce this, but there some printed panels, maybe some decals on the walls by a large format printer would be quite pleasant. Also, another thing that might hide secret walls, or might just be a really, really cheap and easy way to decorate the house, or change the house's decorations by having decals and removing them and replacing them. Potentially, this just popped into my head, the house could be completely bare and could be white, like it was in, was it season 3, I think, that Nathan was in it and a bunch of others.
No, that was the second. Nathan was in the
second season, where the house was completely bare and they had to build all the furniture and paint all the walls and all that kind of thing. They could do that again and have the housemates really decorate and make the place their own. Could look horrific. Could backfire.
Oh, they'll probably just get naked and paint themselves onto the walls again. I keep coming back to very adults-only type content, and we should address that as well, that there probably won't be an adults-only show and there won't be a live feed on the internet, which is really disappointing.
I am particularly disappointed about the live feed thing. Okay. It was a great way to waste time. I think you could get something else. The Daily Show or any other show that is put together by producers. There are storylines, there are storyboards. It's there for a reason. It's there to make you feel a certain way. It's there to make, you know, show an accurate, in inverted commas, representation of anyone who's nominated or, you know, relationships that are forming. It's, you know, it's got a purpose to it. I think anyone can see through that. Whereas with the live feed, there was nothing. There was a live feed producer monitoring it that they didn't mention drugs or, you know, they didn't mention Behind Big Brother or some other thing that was not allowed. Other than that, it was raw. That was where you got to actually get to know the housemates.
And that was, back then, that was the whole crux of Big Brother, is being voyeuristic. And with the live feed, how more voyeuristic can you be other than, like, climbing over the fence and watching yourself?
So I'm disappointed that that's gone. The uncut thing or the adults only show.
I'm less disappointed about uncut because it really became one of those cheesy, stupid clip shows. You could see more through screen captures people had put on the internet than... I just had a flashback to Jamie flashing naked and it...
Blowing everyone's mind.
Yes. Well, maybe we'll edit that part out. We have reached the end of a bottle of wine.
Oh, Yeah. That's not hard with us both, though, so... I think, yeah, adults only less worried about because we lived... It wasn't in the last season, I don't think, was it? I can't remember.
No, because after...
The turkey slap.
Oh, well, the turkey slap was in 2006, and that's when things really blew up.
And then there was the Cleveland steamer that caused that big issue. Remember they weren't allowed to talk about feces? And someone talked about taking a dump on someone's chest, and it's counted as... Fetish, that's right, and they got in trouble.
I remember the reverse kangas in... That was 2005, though. That was kind of this slow progression of how dirty the housemates became. And I think it was also how much the producers felt that they could push it a bit further each year.
Yeah,
and then 2006 kind of erupted. That was the tipping point. Yeah. And then it's all been reeled back. But Channel 9 really has to be very family-friendly for it to work. So there's not going to be anything like that, which makes me wonder what the show on Go will be, Go Channel.
Or even online as well. I think, yeah, Go has the ability, I mean, it still has to adhere to classification guidelines, but they have the ability of showing things later. It's been confirmed already that Big Brother will be on at 7 o'clock every night. So that is what, PG or M nowadays? There's not a lot that they can put on there. So... either putting things in a later time slot or putting it on an alternate channel at a later time slot, or a great source of when Uncut, even when Uncut was still on, but midweek, that kind of content was the exclusive section of the website where you had to have a credit card. You had to prove that you were over the age of 18. There was a whole Uncut section for many, many years of that kind of footage that did end up on the show or didn't end up on the show, or just housemates talking about sex or talking about relationships that they'd had. And it was another insight that you don't see on The Daily Show. The Daily Show is family friendly. That's what it's there for. Its competitor is Home and Away.
Well, I think the whole sleaze component of Big Brother is being taken out completely this year. I mean, we have the Shire for that now. Which was a point I missed earlier. The rejects in the Big Brother Shuffle ad, at first I was like, they're looking a bit ethnic for my liking. They seem to be of a certain ethnic origin. Mm. And I kind of kept that to myself because no one really talked about it. That was just my feeling. And then the Shire came around and I'm like, oh, well, the reject characters have obviously been crafted as people from the Shire.
Maybe they are actually the people from the Shire, and because the people from the Shire now will never be able to get a job ever again because they've been on the Shire, they've now put them in all of Channel 9's promotional advertisements.
How terrible would it have been to be actors in the reject actors during that ad? Well, they'd be like, the producer of the ad would come along, or the director or whatever. And, okay, guys, we just need you to be yourself. And your motivation is that you are rejects and no one would ever want to watch you on television.
Yeah.
They want to see a priest dancing on drugs in the middle of Ballarat.
Not on any drugs, on Sonia Kruger's drugs. And we all know that her class A's are the class A.
Next topic.
Talking of drugs, let's talk about Little Sister, which is this vague thing that has appeared. I think it's been used for many purposes, one of which is it's set up as an actual person on Facebook, and all housemates that made it through the first round of auditions, and even the second round, I think, were required to become friends with Little Sister on Facebook, and then Big Brother would go and check out your Facebook page and check how much of a slurry you are on the weekends, and, you know, how many times your knickers got shown in public photos and whatnot. So there was that purpose. But then there's also of the preview that, you know, the Channel 9 web designers accidentally let loose on the internet, of a whole section of Little Sister, a content page built on the official website for Little Sister. And she's got a blog going now. And most of it that has been posted is under this guise of insider information. Really, it's stuff that the newspapers had picked up on, that the PR people had picked up on. I don't quite know where it's going to go. I suspect it'll be part of a television show offering, maybe a talk show or something like that. But it's not impressing me at the moment. I think Big Brother is an adult show, and I don't think there's anything little sistery about it. That's gossip to me. Little Sister is about gossip and about just trash.
They're trying to go with the split market. They're trying to go with older people and older family viewers and a younger children, which is where little sister comes in, and nothing really in between. Like, the age group that grew up with the original Big Brother is, I think, a second thought. The little sister idea is not new. It came around in, I think it was 2008. It was sort of going in the same direction as like an insider. We'll spill some information on the house. And they've tried to build on it this time around. But it just stinks of a 13-year-old woman in PR trying to write for tweens.
Yeah, I don't understand the little sister vibe. But what about the feminizing of it? Not that it has to be masculine, but there's real connotations to a little sister.
With a big brother.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not go there. But I feel that all sort of sneaky preview information should come from Big Brother. It helps build the persona of Big Brother as the authoritative figure that presides over the house.
Absolutely. And after the hoorah of this week and the end of last week and then hitting 100,000 fans and that ridiculous video that Big Brother posted on YouTube of Big Brother is always watching and the Brotherhood is now 100,000 fans and the only place you'll get official information is from the official Big Brother page, and then to have this other official little sister thing sprouting off the side of it, it undermines what they're trying to say in the first place. It looks like it's two marketing people battling against one another with really different ideas of how it should work. We're still fans, though. I'm looking at this from a fan point of view as well. I'm genuinely excited about the show. I want to see it. I want to hear the opening credit information. There will definitely be Sunday night eviction drinks and, you know, canapes at my house. That'll be a regular thing. I'm excited that it's back. Are you?
I just want to get round to the launch. I want to see what they deliver.
I just want the Olympics to be over. It's not even started yet, and I'm already sick of it.
Oh, who gives a crap about the Olympics when we have reality television? And the Shire is not going to cut it. If we go off topic for a second, the Shire is...
I can't admit to have watching it yet, but as soon as you leave, I will be watching it, if I can get through it. They've got to fill a void. There's a gap. There's a gap between the Olympics being
on. There's not enough trashiness on television, but the Shire is too trashy. And inspired by the Shire, I am now changing my name to Tim with two M's, and I'm taking monthly trips to Dubai to touch up my nose job and to shop at Guess.
Does one of them actually do that?
Yeah, and her sugar daddy / actual daddy loads up her 15 grand credit card.
I thought the Shire was Bogan area. How do they have money?
I think it was going to be Bogan-centric, but the mayor complained to Channel 10.
That's right.
And apparently they've ditched like several whole groups of cast members to go with these ones. And a lot of them aren't even from Sutherland Shire. I think Little Sister is from Sutherland Shire. But that we can't confirm that. That's rumours. But they've gone with this group that are kind of like Laguna Beach, the hills, kind of surfy, very pretty, but very vacant. But MTV did that in 2004. I mean...
Yeah, do we really need an Australian version of it?
We do not. I could only manage the first 10 minutes. I'll just admit that I could only manage the first 10 minutes.
Well, look, at least, you know, if things go really terrible with Big Brother, which touch wood that they won't, we can just watch The Shire. It will essentially be the same thing. If it's bad. If the rejects from the ad actually do end up in the house.
Well, we'll see when launch comes around.
I'm excited. Let's bring it on. Get rid of the Olympics. Finish it up. Let's put Big Brother back on the screens and see what they've been working on.
So we're planning to, I don't know, shall we do the podcast weekly?
I think we'll do the podcast
weekly. We'll do the podcast weekly. So stick around. We'll have more episodes coming up, obviously. Maybe not weekly in the lead up to the launch, because there might not be a whole lot to talk about, but definitely once the show starts, we'll grace you with our lovely voices.
Our presence on your iPod or your iThing or whatever it is you do. And remember to continue chatting on our forums. They are open and ready for
your words of wisdom.
Your words of wisdom, yeah.
And we have a Facebook and a Twitter. Follow us. Do whatever you like, really.
Engage however you would like to engage.
And we'll leave it at that.
Thanks for joining us. It's nice to be back. Thank you.
can't believe we got through a whole episode after not doing this for 4 years.
A whole episode and an entire bottle of wine. We did have to drink between 2 and 3 glasses before we could even start. We've got an end segment that we'd like to begin on the Behind Big Brother podcast with David and Tim. Tim and David, however you want to choose it, do it.
Every episode will be yakking over a beverage.
That's yakking.
Well, yakking as in talking over a beverage. And each episode we'll let you know what beverage the podcast was brought to you by. And I thought in the spirit of Behind Big Brother and what has been revealed on the website in the last week, we are drinking Rumours Wine. It's from Warburn Estate. It's a Cab Sav, and it was okay.
It was okay. Look, I drank it because it was in my vessel, but I probably won't pick it up. It's quite apt, the name.
I mean, it's no secret that I love Rumours, just not in a wine form.
And I'll just read to you the back section of the wine, which is often the place where marketing copy goes to die. Rumours, Cabernet Sauvignon. Medium-bodied palate with lovely berry fruit and wood flavours, backed with excellent tannin structure. An ideal accompaniment... I was choking on it. An ideal accompaniment to red meat dishes. Ready for enjoyment now. I'd just like to note that the full stop after dishes and ready is missing. Oh, sorry, is missing a space. So obviously it was not proofed before it went to print. Milk products may remain... Preservative 220 has been added. This is the sound of the wine bottle hitting... Oh, shit.
We will not include that.